Today we're going to conclude our study, our series of studies that we've been doing on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And last time I began with some concluding remarks on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we began to briefly look at each one again. I'm going to continue in just a moment, but before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. We pray for the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher today. We pray that you'd bless the listener, the saint of God who's listening today, that they would be built up in the things of the Lord, that this study would be a blessing to them. And Father, we pray, if there be a lost soul listening today that never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood and nothing else, to save them from their sins, forgive them of those sins, and give them a home in heaven, that this would be the very day, from a heart of faith, they'd call upon the name of the Lord, believing that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Father, now, we commit this time into your hands, and we pray that you'd have your will and your way in our hearts and our minds today. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The fifth fruit of the Holy Spirit is gentleness. It means a kindness of heart that produces kind acts. This gentleness should be directed on purpose to three groups of people. First of all, toward the lost. Second of all, towards our enemies. And thirdly, toward fellow believers. I believe our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as you read the gospel accounts of his ministry, Jesus was gentle. He exhibited this fruit of gentleness, especially when he dealt with the individual lost person. Amen. He was harder on the religious leaders of his day because they should have known better. And he was harder on them because they were leading the people astray, down the wrong path, the path of destruction. But we saw how he dealt with gentleness towards the sinner, towards those who were ill, who were maimed and lame, who had evil spirits, amen, to lepers, amen. He was gentle and kind. We saw that gentleness and how he dealt with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, about her salvation. Gentleness. Gentleness, again, is a fruit that can only be produced in the believer's life by the Holy Spirit of God, that indwelling Holy Spirit. And gentleness can only produce if, as believers, we are yielded on a daily basis to that indwelling Holy Spirit and come under complete control of that Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives. Now, the sixth fruit is goodness. This fruit of the Holy Spirit is good moral character and is not always characterized by kind and gentle acts, as with the gentleness, as with the fruit of gentleness, amen. And then we have the seventh fruit, faith. Faith produced by the Holy Spirit is not a strong belief for you to hold on to, but a fidelity that shows to others that you are trustworthy and faithful. Amen. The Word of God produces faith that causes you to trust God. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces fidelity so that God and others can trust you. Amen. And then we saw the eighth fruit, meekness. Meekness is strength that does not push for its own will and way. In the Old Testament, it means a willingness to endure hardship with a submissive spirit, with hope for but no guarantee of escape. It is only the Holy Spirit that can take a strong person, strip him of self-will, and keep him strong enough to lead. See, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is allowing God to have His way, His will and His way in your life. See? Amen. You're submitted to Him and Him alone. And then we saw the ninth and final fruit, temperance. Self-control. Keeping the body of flesh and appetites under. So that we, and not, you know, not giving into the flesh, and the desires of the flesh, and the lusts of the flesh. So that we can be used of God. So as we tell others how to be saved, that we live a life that's temperate. That is in conjunction for what we're saying and how what the witness is all about. We keep our testimony. Our testimony matches our witness, amen. We ask the question, why would God desire to produce this fruit in us? Is it so that we may be edified? Though it does edify us, this is not the main purpose. Is it that we may live right? Though we should live the way God wants us to live, this is not the main purpose. Is it so that we may become successful in this life? God desires for every one of us to prosper in all that we do, but this is not the main purpose. What is the main purpose for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then? What is it? It is given in hopes that we might be effective witnesses for the Lord while we live on this earth. Amen? We have a great illustration. Amen? And I'd have us to turn to Genesis 24. Chapter 24 of Genesis. In this chapter, Abraham sends his servant to choose a bride for his son Isaac. See? He did not want this woman who would be his son's wife be chosen from the unbelieving Canaanites. So he sent his eldest servant back to his own country. Amen. Where a bride would be chosen from Abraham's own people. You see, this story also beautifully illustrates the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer, the purpose for his gifts and his fruit. Amen. Here is what the story pictures. First of all, in chapter 24, verse 2, we have Abraham, who is a picture, a type of God the Father. It says, "And Abraham said unto his servant, his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." And of course here the servant, the eldest servant, is a picture of or type of the Holy Spirit. And notice he does not speak. He does not speak of himself. Amen. He seeks a bride for the bridegroom. And then we have Rebekah in verse 15. Chapter 24, verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And of course, Rebekah is the bride. The bride of all those who get saved. And then we see he speaks about my country in Genesis chapter 24, verse 4. But thou shalt go unto my country, which is a picture, a type of the world. Amen. It reminds us of that great verse of Scripture, does it not? John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see also, finally, Isaac. Isaac, who was a picture, a type of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. The son of Abraham. And Abraham, of course, is a picture of God the Father. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 3, we read, Genesis chapter 24, verse 3, and I will make thee swear by the God, by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. So Abraham, we see, a picture of type of God the Father, sends the servant, a picture, a type of the Holy Spirit, to my country, which is the world, to seek a bride, Christians, who make up the bride of Christ for his son Jesus. We see that this took no less than a miracle. God sent an angel before the servant. We see that in, again in chapter 24, verse 7. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. And he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. You see, God sent a miracle. God sent a miracle. Look at in Genesis 24 again, 14 through 19. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, I drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. So here we see the eldest servant asking God to show him specifically who it is to be the bride of Isaac, a picture and type of Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, behold, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Michal, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." So here is the picture of the miracle. Here is the sign that this is the one, Rebecca. Amen. A picture of the church, Christians, the bride of Christ. Notice in verse 10 what it says. It says, "And the servant took 10 camels." Amen. 10 camels. And she had to carry all the water on her head. This was a big task. It was a miracle. Then we see gifts were given to get a bride for Isaac, Abraham's son. Look in verse 22 of Genesis 24. "And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold." So notice one of the gifts, earrings. You think of the ear. The earring goes on the ear. It represents the ear. And we're told in Romans 10:17, "For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God." And then we notice also the gift of bracelets. Bracelets. See, in order for the gift has to be received. Amen. And the bracelets had to be received by Rebecca. There is the gift of salvation, but it does no one any good unless it's received individually. And again, it reminds us of in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him," that's Jesus Christ, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." See? Gifts were given to get a bride. Again, this is the primary reason for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We see in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, turn there if you would with me, Luke 24, in verse 49, Jesus said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you," that's the Holy Spirit, "but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Wait for that Holy Spirit. It's going to come. And then we see as Jesus goes up at the beginning of the book of Acts. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power." Amen. "After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." See? They're given for a witness, to get a bride for Christ, to win souls, the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. many religious groups today are neglecting the real purpose for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see it abused, especially you see all these groups speaking in so-called tongues, and they're not biblical tongues, that's for sure. And of course, the gift of tongue, speaking in tongues, was a sign gift to confirm the word and the message of God, and it's not here today. But people are using it today like it is, but they're using it in a perverted way, not in a biblical way, amen. They're using it in a fleshly way, because if these individuals were truly yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, amen, and allow that Holy Spirit to have complete control of their lives, they wouldn't be doing this foolishness. If these so-called manifestations of the Spirit do not follow Bible example, they are not from God. Just like there's a Holy Spirit, there is an unholy spirit. Spirit of the devil. See? We ask this question, what part does the fruit of the Holy Spirit play in winning people to Christ? What part do they have in getting a bride for Jesus? You see, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is produced primarily to help us to get a bride for Jesus. Amen. You see, you and I can win more to Christ if we love them the way God loves them. Amen. And remember what we said about the fruit of love, which is called charity in the Bible, love in action. Where is the focus of that love? It's on the person being loved, not upon you and I, the ones that are giving that love and expressing that love and showing that love towards that lost individual, amen. As we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Where was his love focused? On the world. See? You and I can win more to Christ if we exhibit the joy of the Lord rather than a complaining spirit. Amen. That complaining spirit will repel people. They'll say, you're supposed to be a Christian. Where's the joy? Where's this joy you tell me about in Christ? You're complaining all the time. What a poor witness that is. Amen. In these end times that we're living, Christians have become very fleshly. Amen. They're not sold out to God like they used to be. Amen. They're not committed to the cause of Christ. That's why people are not truly getting saved, born again, seeing a change in their lives. Hey, listen, anybody can get anybody to say a prayer. I'm talking about an individual coming under good old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction, amen, realizing they're a sinner on their way to hell and crying out to God for mercy and forgiveness and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. You and I can win more to Christ, amen, if we are at peace with God and not warring with him about his will. I mean, the battle's lost. Our attitude is to be what Christ had. Not my will be done, but thine will be done, amen. And you're wondering why you're not getting anything done for Christ? Amen. Or why God isn't using you? Well, maybe you're fighting them. You're warring against them. You're not letting him have his way and his will in your life. Amen. You and I can win more to Christ if we're long-suffering toward sinners. Not only toward sinners, but towards each other. Instead of being quick to judge individuals, judge them in their unbelief. Amen. You got to remember, they're non-believers. They're sinners, like we were. We're still sinners, but I'm saying we're saved by grace. You got to remember that we once sat where they sat. And thank God someone came along, amen, that was long-suffering and put up with us and continued with us and showed us love and compassion and mercy. And finally, we got saved. Amen. Because that individual allowed the Lord to have his will and his way in their life. And they were yielded to that Holy Spirit of God. See? You and I can win more to Christ if you and I are gentle and kind and do kind things for those without Christ. Amen. You know, sometimes you need to see where a person is at and spend some time and talking to them and finding out about them. Amen? And when they see that you genuinely care about them, then they'll come and get saved. But if you're not going to be gentle and kind and caring, amen, that's going to repel them. You've lost them. That opportunity has gone by. You and I can win more to Christ if you and I exhibit goodness in standing for right without compromise. You know? That's the problem today. The church has compromised for the sake of having more people. See, that's the problem. Success in a ministry is determined by many by how many folks show up on a Sunday and how much is in the collection plate. That's not God's definition of success. Amen. You got to do it God's way or don't do it anyway. Any way at all. Don't compromise. We're not saying about being Pharisaical. We're just saying don't compromise on the things of God. Not on, you know, what kind of glasses someone wears or so forth. There's so many crazy things out there. You and I can win more to Christ if the lost see us as trustworthy through the fruit of faith, that is fidelity. Unsaved people should know that they can trust us. Amen? What a poor testimony if they can't. And you and I can win more to Christ if we are submissive toward God in His authority through meekness. And you and I can win more to Christ if we exhibit a life of temperance, of self-control, where we keep our fleshly body and appetites under. So here we have the beautiful picture of how the Father in heaven sent the Holy Spirit to get a bride for His Son Jesus with that story in Genesis 24. And He gave us gifts to make it easier to get a bride for Jesus. And He gave us the fruit of the Holy Spirit in order to make it easier to get a bride for Jesus. That concludes our study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. My friends listening, again, this study, complete study, is available on CD. All you have to do is drop me a note, tell me you want the study, send it to the address that will be given to you at the end of the broadcast. Until we meet again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. My prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.